Be in Hebrews chapter 11 this morning, and I won't read the whole chapter, but primarily I'll be reading just from the beginning of the chapter, and we'll be looking at various verses in it relating to the subject. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders received witness. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Also, I'd like to refer to verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And also verse 39 and 40. All these, having faith, received witness through faith. Received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Shall we bow together in prayer? Loving Father, we thank you for what faith means to us, for the assurance of faith, for the conviction of faith, for the commendation of faith. Thank you, Father, that we are aware that faith is necessary, and that through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have hope of eternal life. And we thank you, Father, that from the beginning it was so. And we pray even today, Lord, that you will encourage our faith, that our faith may grow, and that we may abound yet more and more in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The subject of today's message is faith's good report. Faith's good report. Taken from this particular chapter because we find that this chapter is noted for the heroes of faith. That is, those ones who made themselves very much a part of that record of faith. And the record of faith being a very good report of those things in the Lord Jesus Christ, which were believed, and which God did reward them. And we find as we go down through this whole record, there is a number of people called the patriarchs, or the elders of the Old Testament, we might call them, as the scripture refers to them. And so it is that faith was known to them, and that they lived by faith. We also, of course, must live by faith. And I guess maybe we should ask ourselves, what is our report on faith? That is, if we were to have some kind of a record written about our own lives, is there a good report of faith that we could attest to as well? So you might want to think of that as we kind of follow through this message. But we find that these first couple of verses here are quite important to our idea of the good report of faith. In verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'd like to look at this passage that I've selected here upon three different areas. First of all, confidence or assurance. We all have some sense of what it means to have confidence in something or to have the assurance of something. And so think about that as we go through the message. There should be a confident assurance of faith in our lives. The second thing is conviction. If we are to have a true sense of our faith in Christ, then there must be some conviction. That is, a follow-through. the idea that we believe something, and that our believing that which God has told us is very much a part of our faith. The third thing is commendation. As we think about what commendation means, to be commended for what a person does or how he lives his life or her life, and how that life is known through the various things that have been reported about the individual. And so a commendation is something we often think of, commendation in relationship to somebody being commended through some kind of citation which is given to, or certificate of reward or certificate of commendation or something of that, like that. But this morning we'd like to think of these three different words in relationship to faith. Faith's a confidence or assurance, faith's conviction, and faith's commendation. So let's think about those things as we go through the message this morning. First of all, as we look at the very first verse here, he says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word substance here can be translated literally assurance. You can read it that way if you desire to. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Now perhaps that makes a little more sense to you to read it in that manner. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. When you have the assurance of something, then you think, well, I am pretty much positive that something is going to either take place or be true. And so assurance is a very good thing, especially when we think about the Word of God. We need the assurance in our hearts that the Word of God is not only the Word of God, but that we can truly understand and be and feel that what God is telling us in His Word is true. The assurance of things in life, well, you may want to have some assurance that you have your job. You say, well, I have a good job, but you may feel like, well, the company is a pretty good company that I work for, and I'm pretty assured that I'm going to have my job as long as I want my job. I just know that company is a good, solid company, and I can count on them. And so assurance is pretty good. But if you don't have assurance in the person you're working for, or people, or company that you're working for, you may feel like, perhaps I better start looking for another job, because this one seems a little bit shaky for some reason. But when it comes to God's Word, when you sit down with the Bible and you read the Word of God, there should be a sense that what you are reading is truly the Word of God. From the beginning of the book to the end of the book, if you don't have any assurance that the Word of God is truly the Word of God, and these things are true, then you may be saying, well, I really don't know if God meant what He said and said what He meant. Maybe it's a little bit difficult to understand, and so I don't know as I'm going to take it for truth. And so a person like that may be very easily led to believe something else other than the Word of God. But we find that God's Word tells us that we can be assured of His Word. In fact, we find that faith is the assurance of the things hoped for. It is the assurance of the things hoped for. Now you see, well, faith, now see, that's kind of a tricky word, isn't it? Faith isn't so benign that we can get along without it. Faith, in fact, is something we have to have when it comes to the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. So faith is pretty essential when it comes to the Word of God. The other thing we know about faith is, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You can stop reading right there. Now see, that tells you something pretty important as well. That faith is essential to salvation, and it's not of us. And so that means that God himself must be the one involved in giving faith. In fact, we find the book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. Now you see, we're looking at some very key concepts here. And those concepts tell us that faith is truly the assurance of things hoped for. But we must have faith to have the assurance of things hoped for. And it's not something that we can kind of conjure up in ourselves, but it is something that we can count on. When God gives faith to us, when God truly imparts faith by giving us that gift of salvation, when God truly imparts faith through the reading of the Word of God, Romans 10:17, when God truly imparts faith to us, we can realize, well, faith then is all that I need. I don't need someone else to corroborate. All I need is God's Word. All I need is to know is that God is truly saying what he means and meaning what he says. And so, a confident assurance of things hoped for. Now, this is faith. And faith is something which is of God then and is not of man. Sometimes the illustration is used that we might believe in faith if we understand about something materially that we can trust in. For instance, you might trust in the pew that you're sitting in, and you might say, well, I believe that pew is strong enough to hold me up this morning, so I'm going to sit in it. I have faith that I believe that that pew is going to hold me up this morning. Well, it might hold you up today. And if you could live 1,000 years, you might sit down in that pew and it might not hold you up in 1,000 years. By that time, it might be pretty rickety. And it might have corrupted considerably. And maybe that day, in 1,000 years, when you sat in that pew, it would drop. It would fall. It wouldn't hold you up. But you cannot say that about God's Word or God. Why? Because God is truly that one who has given us a faith of confident assurance in the things hoped for. Why? Because we're not only saved by faith, but we understand that the Word of God is that which builds our faith. And we find that the Word of God, being the Word of God then, we can have the greatest confidence and assurance of those things hoped for. So again, back at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, in the second part of this verse here, we find that there are not only those things which are hoped for, there are things that are not seen. Now, you may have gone to the doctors recently, and the doctor drew some blood in a little vial. Well, maybe the nurse did. Probably the doctor wouldn't do that because, I don't know, doctors don't get near that stuff too much. But the nurses, you know, they do that. And I remember when I was in the hospital, about 4 o'clock in the morning, they would come in and they would wrap something around my arm that just about choked me to death, twisted my arm off, and then they would stick a needle in there. Believe me, that nurse who came in that morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, she wasn't all that gentle either. And she drew blood every morning. It was kind of like, I really didn't want to have her come. But anyway, if a nurse draws blood, you know, you might say, oh, I can see that blood. That's pretty good blood there. It's nice and red. That must be pretty good blood. But they take it down to the lab and they begin to examine it and they do this and that to it. I don't know what they do down there, but they do some things. And they find out about such things that that has to do with your health, whether it be the amount of sugar in your blood or whether it be of antibodies or various kinds of things which lead to good health or poor health. You know, they can determine all those things, right? Things not seen, those things that are not seen. You can see the blood, but you can't see the things that are not seen. And to some extent, you have to have some confidence in the people who are treating you to know what is going on as far as your blood test is concerned. Now, what about things eternal? Wow. Now, that's a little bit more difficult, isn't it? Things eternal. How can I trust God that God is going to truly take me someplace called heaven and give me, as it were, a future home with him in heaven? How am I going to believe that? Well, that is truly is something not seen on the realm of the eternal. And so we find that faith then requires a great deal more sometimes than we can explain. It isn't so easily explained, but it can be known. In fact, we find that because faith is truly of God, we can have the confident assurance of faith in the things we hope for, and that because faith is of God, we can have the conviction of things not seen. In other words, you can believe that heaven is real, even though you have never been there. You can believe that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You can believe that God created all things by the word of his power. You can believe that you were made in the image and likeness of God. You can believe all things are of God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can believe all these things. Though you cannot handle them, though you cannot put them under a test tube, though you cannot put them under a microscope, you can believe it because you have the conviction of faith. That's how you can believe it. Because faith can be assured to you. You can have the confident assurance of faith. And because of the confident assurance of faith, you can also have the conviction of faith. I believe. I remember some years ago, when I was going through Bible college, we had to write down some things that we believed when it came to the Bible. And so we typically wrote down, I believe in God, or I believe in the Bible, or I believe in eternal life. And you might extrapolate upon those things that you believe. Why do you believe those things? And you might have to write a thesis about the various things that you believe. And why you believe those things? Well, of course, it causes you to think, doesn't it? It tests you. It proves your thinking ability a little bit to sit down and to write those things out. And you might want to do that sometime. You might want to sit down and with a piece of paper and say, I believe in God because, and test yourself as to what you might come up with as to why you believe in God, or why you believe that you are saved, or why you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, or why you believe there is truly a heaven. But you see, if you can do that with some confident assurance, with some conviction, then you are testing your faith in the sense of being able to explain those things, at least to yourself. But we find that faith is one of these things. The superiority of the way of faith and the sphere of faith is unique to God and to his working in those who believe in him. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence or conviction of things not seen. I'd like to turn back to Romans chapter 8 and verse 24 for a moment and read a couple of verses. It says in Romans 8:24, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." In other words, if you could already see it, you wouldn't have to have faith to hope that you are going to have it. Somebody's going to give you a gift, and they say, "Oh, I'm going to give you a new watch." And so they bring the watch to you, and you see it. And you don't have to hope for it. You already have it. You can see it. But if God tells you something, if God tells you about your salvation in Christ, if God tells you about a home in heaven, if God tells you about your inheritance in Christ Jesus and explains those things to you in the Word of God. Now, this you have to have hope for, true hope. And true hope is based upon faith. And true faith is based upon a confident assurance. And true faith is based upon a true conviction, what you believe the Word of God says and why you believe it. Now you see, this is faith's good report. This is faith's good report. The third thing that we see here is commendation. We have a confident assurance, we have the conviction, and now the commendation. In verse 2, "For by it the elders received witness." By it the elders received witness. Now, the word elders is the word presbyteros. It means elder. It can mean elder in a church, but it can mean also elder as in elder person or people. And in this sense, it means those who were of old, in the sense of, in the Old Testament account, of the patriarchs. Because this chapter, by context, goes into various people of the Old Testament, and it talks about them, such as Abel and Enoch and Abraham and so on and so forth. So he says here, "For by it the elders received witness." Now, what did they receive witness of? They received witness of their confident assurance. They received witness of their conviction of faith, what they believed. They received witness because they received commendation. And the whole idea here of received witness is that idea, commendation. They obtained a good report. In other words, God gave a good witness in His Word of them. Now, we know that some of these people might not have done everything right, as we might say. I mean, everybody makes a mistake once in a while, right? Are anybody perfect here? Nope. No, not me. I didn't mean to say I was perfect. Right. Nobody's perfect. So we know that Hebrews 11 isn't saying, well, all these people were perfect. No, by far they were not perfect. Not even Moses was all that perfect. I mean, he had his problems too. But so that isn't the point of what is being said. The point of what is being said is that God gave good report of them because they were men and women of confident assurance, of true conviction of belief, and because of that He gave them a commendation of the witness in the Word of God. Now, none of us are going to make it into the Word of God. Except by kind of an intuitive way, like wherever you're called, they use the word saint in the Word of God. It's not talking about a dead person who's in a statue. No, it's talking about a person who is a believer. A saint in the Word of God is a person who is a true believer in Christ, in God. whenever it talks about the person who was sanctified in Christ, that was talking about a person who is a believer, who is made holy in Christ, who is set apart in Christ. In other words, we in the Bible as talked about as the church, or as the body of Christ, or as saints, or as those who are sanctified in Christ. So we're in the Bible, but we're not named in that same sense as these patriarchs were. To say this, then, the commendation and the good witness which we will receive is that by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And so it is that faith's good report is still true for us. It is still true based upon a confident assurance. It is still true based upon the conviction of what we believe. It is still true based upon the good report that is said of us. And we would hope as well that there may be a good witness by our own contemporaries of us. If you happen to be a mother or a father and have children, and you have grandchildren and children that are grown, you may say, well, I hope my children remember me as a good believer, as someone of confident faith, as someone of true conviction, of someone that gave a good report of their life in Christ. Now, you see, these things are important. These things are what is involved in true faith. And though we find that this whole chapter goes on to say something about the heroes of faith, those elders, as it were, those that were commended, we find it is because they exhibited those same things that we are talking about. A confident assurance, the conviction, they had the commendation or good report of faith in God. Look with me to verse 6, if you will, as we close. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you'd like to underscore something, underscore this, that faith is not real unless you believe that God is, that he exists, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We cannot make up a definition for faith and say, oh, I believe because I fit that definition. No, you must understand first that God is part of the equation, and that you must believe in God. You must believe that not only that there is a God, you must believe that God rewards those who believe in him. You must believe, therefore, that God is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, who are drawn to him, and who consistently will follow him in that faith. Now, all of these patriarchs in chapter 11 did this. They not only believed in God, they believed and they followed God, and they diligently sought after God because they were of God. God bless them. And this is all about faith in what is being said here. In closing, verse 39 and 40, and these all, having received witness through faith, by faith, received not the promise. Now, what does that say? Well, in their lifetime, none of these people in Hebrews chapter 11 received the things they hoped for. That doesn't mean that God wasn't going to provide it. It is very likely that you will die without receiving the promise. Now, to receive the promise, you would have to be alive at the same time, or raptured, or taken up in glory like Enoch. Now, Enoch saw what he believed and hoped for in person because he was taken up. Everybody else has to die and then wait for the last resurrection to receive that which they hope for. And you see, all of these heroes of the faith, they had to wait for what is hoped for, because natural death took them first. But see, that does not negate faith. They had faith. They had confident assurance. They had the conviction. They had the commendation from God. They had faith, even though they did not receive the full manifestation of the hope or the faith which they had in God as yet. And by the way, they are still waiting for the full glorification that God shall give to them in heaven. They're still waiting. But God will fulfill His promise and His word to them. And we know that to be true by faith, you see. Now, this is faith's good report. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, they, the heroes of faith, without us, should not be made perfect. Now, we're going to receive our glorification with them. You will be there with them, and you will receive your glorification with them. Faith's good report. Let us pray. Loving Father, bless us, we pray, with these words. Encourage us with these words, that we may give that good witness for you. Thank you, Father, for your love and grace and your mercies to us. In Jesus' name, amen. For our closing hymn, number 443, appropriately, I Know Whom I Have Believed. Shall we stand together?